Today's program is brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network.
Holiday show! Holiday show! Today is the holiday show!
And we are done. We are done with gardening.
Yeah.
Friday was the last day. We had our party.
We went bowling and had barbecue.
We had barbecue. And now we can devote ourselves exclusively to you, our audience.
That means we can sleep in.
And nobody else. in case you all don't know us, Alice and I are the proprietors of Groundworks, Inc. in New York City. We design and build gardens all around New York. And now that the season's over, we can act like normal people and eat and drink and sharp our way through the rest of the year.
Yay!
So when Alice and I were thinking about what to do for our sort of, you know, end of year show, although we have one more coming, but we always like to kind of do a roundup. Last year, we focused just on books, and this year, we decided to sort of cast a wider net of more interesting things, not just books, but we have to include books. So let's start with those. We've had a lot of authors on the show this year, and naturally, you know,
We love their books.
But we wanted
and would recommend them highly.
Yes, but we wanted to narrow it down a little bit so that it wasn't an hour of, you know, titles and descriptions. From my personal standpoint, the best book that I read this year was not even a gardening book, although it had a lot of
botany. You and I are in agreement on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, The Signature of All Things by Elizabeth Gilbert, who was the author of Eat, Pray, Love. Just imagine a repressed 19th century botanist studying mosses. It sounds terrible, right?
In a dark closet
in a
by
dark
herself.
Yeah.
Let me just say fingers. It's the best book. It's an amazing book.
It's so, so good. And in fact, one of our listeners, June Tables, said on Facebook today that she loved it too. And she listened to the book. She listened to it, you know, an audio version of the book while she was weeding vast amounts of plantain in her yard. So it's the kind of book that is deep. It has a lot of profound.
It's a page turner,
but it's also a page turner.
It consumed me for several nights.
Yeah, it's yes, exactly. So anyway, Alice, what do you want to add to the top 10 list?
Okay, well, one of my favorites, and I have not read this, but I'm looking forward to reading it, because this is an issue that's close to my heart. Is called Four Wings and a Prayer, and it's all about monarch butterflies.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's by Sue Halperin, who is married to the activist Bill McKibben.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a novel and story about the plight of the monarchs and their journey and the importance of preserving the species. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then also, there is an amazing kid book that I've just discovered called Grandpa Green. Now, this came out in 2011. It's by an author named Lane Smith. And the intro kind of reads like this. Grandpa Green wasn't always a gardener. He was a boy who lived on a farm as a child who had chicken pox. He was a soldier, a husband, and most of all, an artist. So in this book, you follow his grandson through a garden where memories are handed down through the shapes of topiary trees and imagination as told by the grandfather. So it's a very
visual. So I'm assuming you've read this to Alden.
Yes.
Does he like it?
I've read it myself. I'm giving it to him for Christmas. So he hasn't read it yet. But it is such a visible feast of topiary and storytelling.
Oh,
the narrative is amazing.
That sounds great.
So it's a good, like, fantastical. Hopefully it gets a kid hooked on gardening what a garden is and the kind of mystical sense. It's really great. Grandpa Green.
Good. Well, speaking of storytelling, one of my personal favorite guests this year was Jenks Farmer. He was on with his book, Deep Rooted Wisdom. Just soulful stories, a beautiful book, a beautiful person.
Yeah.
You know, he was on the show in the spring. Highly recommend the book called Deep Rooted Wisdom. And then on a continuing with this sort of spiritual, esoteric realm.
this was an amazing show that we did.
The Hermit in the Garden.
Right.
Gordon Campbell was one of the funniest,
amazing
guests we have ever had. I mean, sometimes we've had some academics on, you know, that were a little difficult to extract a good interview out of, but Gordon is not that.
And the book is amazing.
Yeah. Hermit in the Garden by Gordon Campbell. And then recently, Stephen Orr.
I love that we both agreed on that. When we put our lists together, we both agreed.
The New American Herbal.
Yeah.
This is going to be, I think, like a classic.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be the book, you know.
It's the Gerard for this
generation. Of our generation. Yeah. It's beautiful. Anything else you want to add, Elle?
Yes. I don't know how many of you know this, but every year at Q, there is a photography exhibition that has just gotten amazing, and they put out a catalog every year. The International Garden Photographers of the Year is the catalog that's produced. It's the annual exhibit at Q, which documents the following subject areas: gardens, wildlife, the beauty of plants, urban gardens, woods and forest, wildflowers, earth images. It is unbelievable. And from this exhibit, anyone can enter. It's international people, and you see amazing.
Do you have to be a professional?
No.
Interesting.
That's what's great about it. Hmm. It is the best, like, landscape pornography I've ever seen. It's amazing. Really beautiful.
And when is the exhibit this year?
It's February every year.
Okay.
So
are we going to have Q? We're going to have him on
about that. The archivist.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then a book is published?
Yeah. Like, they do a catalog for the exhibit every year. And it looks fantastic this year. So.
And people can get the catalog.
Yeah, you can buy the catalog.
From Q.
Yeah.
Okay. Rochelle Greer was just on. Have to shout out to her.
She's amazing.
And cultivating garden style. I think she's kind of reinvented, maybe this is too much to say, but I think she's kind of reinvented the garden design book.
I think so.
You know?
And also her newspaper, Pith and Vigor. That is a great gift.
A good
subscription.
Good gift. Yes. Yes.
Her book is great.
A number of our gardeners who are in their 20s, they subscribe. We gave them copies, and they're like, this is, like, very applicable to me.
Yeah.
You know, they really, like, related to it.
Yep.
I have to mention a book, an author that we haven't had on that I would like to sometime in the future.
I want to read this. I haven't read this.
Jane S. Smith wrote The Garden of Invention about Luther Burbank.
Yeah.
And he's people who are in the horticulture field know who Luther Burbank is, but he has a very interesting personal and professional story. So totally worth giving. If you have somebody like a horticulture student or somebody who loves to read and is into gardening, this is a great
book. Yeah, I want to read it. And The Swamp.
Oh, yes. The Swamp is not about gardening, but it's about land use. It's a much broader story. And it specifically deals with the Everglades and how much politics has been involved in trying to preserve and drain and not preserve that giant patch of wilderness at the tip of Florida.
Yeah.
And I read it when I was down there, because I kind of like to read books about the place
local.
when I'm down there.
Yeah.
And this was it wasn't a boring read. It's a pretty big tome, but it's a very excellent and entertaining book. So Swamp by Michael Grunwald.
Alrighty.
So,
So gifts. What are some gifts?
Yes.
Let's talk about gifts. I found it hilarious that both Carmen and I talked about lighting when we were making our individual lists and putting them together. I think it's funny. It must just be like the solstice that's coming up or the lack of light. But
I agree.
So I think lighting would make a great gift for a gardener. And I found these amazing solar mason jars, fairy lights, that hang. I found it via Etsy. It's a woman in Michigan, and her store is called Kelly's Creative Outlet. But they are the sweetest little mason jars. They're solar activated. You can hang them around. They're really sweet during the day when the sunlight hits them. But then there's this crumpled cellophane in the jar. So
I think I've seen those. It
holds. So the light is refracted in like funky ways.
So it looks like fireflies are in the jar.
Exactly.
That's very sweet. And what's really the price point? Cute. How much are they?
They were like $18, I think.
Oh, that's
very
sweet.
Affordable.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. You'll have to check it out.
Okay.
But via Etsy, Kelly's Creative Outlet was the name of.
Lights. Alice and I go towards the light in the winter. We're always going towards the light. And mine, there's a catalog that I really like, and Alice and I have no financial connection to this catalog. I just love it. It's called Via Terra.
Yeah.
And they offered this year kind of an extravagant light pieces. They were these Moroccan hanging lamps. They come in zinc, copper, beautiful. If you know somebody who, you know, loves that boho chic kind of, you know, Spanish Moroccan thing, it would be great indoors or out.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Right.
They're pricey. They're in the $200 to $500 range, but they are really, really beautiful and worth the splurge, I think.
Yeah. So, and then of course there's seeds and physical plants and,
you know,
one of my favorite kind of physical plants to give is tillandsias. Because they're air plants and they're pretty foolproof. You just need to give them some diffused light.
Yeah.
They don't require any soil. And you give them a good soak. They're very low maintenance. And it's such a great addition to any room, you know.
It looks good with any decor, really. You can put them in a seashell. You can put them in. You can hang them from monofilament.
Yeah. There's a million ways of displaying them.
Yeah.
You can put them in terrariums and
very easy.
They're just like sweet little plants with personality. They're exotic looking and they're
but simple to take care
of.
So that's the kind of plant that I gave my sister who has like the brownest thumb, you know, of anyone, and she was able to keep it alive. For a long, long time.
Yeah.
Now on the other end of the spectrum, if you have somebody who has every kind of plant and is like kind of a plant snob and like, oh, I've already grown that. You know, you're kind of like, oh my God, they know everything. They have everything. They have 200 house plants. What can I give them? There's from Gardener Supply, which is another really excellent catalog, honeybee amaryllis. Amaryllis usually don't come in yellow, bright yellow. This year, I think they might be the exclusive source for it, but it really caught my eye. And that bold, bright yellow in the middle of winter is really nice. And it's also nice for someone who may not want the Christmassy colors of red and white and pink.
Right. And it's nice to, you know, stagger the amaryllis too.
Yes.
So that you have some big grotesque color and flower in your life without, you know. But one of my favorite things to give is dwarf citrus trees.
Yeah.
I love the Meyer lemons and the Kiefer limes, those fragrant orange trees, the calamondins, the kumquats. There's a great grower in California called Four Winds Growers.
Yeah.
They got started in 1950. Mm. They have amazing information on how to. They sell fertilizers. And the prices are between $50 and $125
That's really reasonable.
For like a 2 or 3 foot plant that gets shipped bare root. So you got to make sure to, you know, have the right size pot. But they're surprisingly easy if you give them the right conditions. So another thing that I'm currently into, which I think comes from the garden and it kind of bridges the food world, is it's very Victorian, and I love making herb butters.
Yeah.
I love looking for at vintage stores and at flea markets the old molds Like, yeah. They're so gorgeous. Yeah. And it's very easy to just make these butters, and you mix in fresh herbs, you know, tarragon and mint and basil. You can do citrus, oregano, and give that as a gift. I think that's like the sweetest, you know.
And you know, Alice and I always talk about this, like, you know, especially with people that you've known for years and you've exchanged gifts for years, you're like, what do you get them? And
right.
We tend
Not
to,
many people have a butter mold.
No. And food gifts are really the best. You know, you really can't go wrong.
Well, it takes you to an exotic place for an evening.
Or a homey place.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Or a...
But that's what I mean. Like, yeah. Wherever the food comes from, you're all of a sudden you're immersed in that culture.
And it's great.
Yeah.
So... Also on the homey kind of luxurious side, a lot of people know that I love dahlias and I love cozy slippers and stuff like that. And then I saw these slippers also in Vietterra catalogs. They're actually chrysanthemum, but they could be dahlias, you know?
Yeah.
Bright red, so fun.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have a friend who is a gardener, but you don't know what to get horticulturally, or you're kind of a brown thumb, that's like a nice, fun, whimsical thing.
Suggestive of the garden.
Yeah.
Right.
It's under $100. Yep. Another cool thing I saw were these beautiful fig vases. Sometimes it's hard to find. Sometimes you only have a little bit, like small sprigs of flowers from the garden, and you have only big vases. You know,
right.
These sweet little bud vases were shaped like figs and gold colored, and you can put little flowers in it every day or every week, you know, and have like a little trio of arrangements. Those were also $100.
I found some amazing bird feeders and trellises on Etsy from a company called Mid-Century Woodshop in Nevada City, California. Now these are atomic age bird feeders and trellis designs.
They sound great.
They were hilarious. They had bird condos. They had ranch style or the 1960s big roof diner style. Some of them could orbit around. It was so fun to look at this guy's site. So they're a little pricey, $85 and up. Of course, if you want to spend $1,200 on a bird feeder, you're welcome to do that,
too. And they're handmade?
They're handmade. Mm-hmm. They are made with redwood and great, great woods and funny, like, painted the colors of the 60s and just really charming.
Yeah, because a lot of bird
houses
are terrible.
The whole like rustic birdhouse
like
thing.
Schlocky.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Kind of creepy.
So this
looking.
Was a really fun site. And then I also found, let's talk about planters for a minute.
Mm, yeah.
Because planters are a great gift. And Carmen and I are always looking for a good hanging planter. You know?
They're hard to come by.
Something other than the macrame thing that your grandmother dust collected. You know, it was like hanging in the corner. I found a driftwood hanging planter for indoor plants. And it was basically like constructed of found pieces of driftwood. It was in a square format.
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe 4 or 5 inches tall. So it would be great for like an orchid or some kind of, you know, not a lot of soil plant.
The Tillandsia.
Tillandsias. Yeah.
An epiphytic
kind of exactly.
Plant, yeah.
And they were $32. And
that's really good.
The site is called, it was on Etsy, Drifting Concepts out of London, Canada.
That sounds awesome.
Really fun.
I have to check that out.
Yeah.
Also for the gardener, a good watering can will last you a lifetime.
Yeah. I still have my Haws that Carmen gave me.
Did I? I gave you a
Haws. You told my old boss to give it to me because it was a good one. Haws.
Yes. Was it copper?
It's stainless steel.
Yeah.
But it's a beast. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, if you want something sweet for indoors, of course, Alice and I are partial to the color purple.
Yeah.
Not the book too, but, you know, our logo is like purple. It's like our signature color.
Plum.
There's a Haws watering can from Gardener Supply that's perfect for house plant size.
Yeah.
And that's a really nice gift that will last somebody a very long time.
Yeah.
So that's a sweet, and that was also under $100. I think it was like $85. So it's not bad. And for little stocking stuffers, there were a few seed catalogs that I wanted to mention.
Yes.
to kind of support the small artisanal seed companies. There's a company called Kitazawa Seed Company that was started in 1917.
Oh, wow.
And it's a California company, and it specializes in seeds for Japanese vegetables, but now it has like more than 400 or 500 varieties.
Wow.
Herbs, veggies, Chinese eggplants, all that stuff. It's called, you can find it at kitawazaseed.com.
Can you spell that?
Sure. It's K-I-T-A-Z-A-W-A.
So there must be some really unusual varieties.
Yeah. I think this has Pam Ito's name all over it.
Yeah.
our friend Pam, who's Japanese. Another company that some of you might be familiar with, but it's local, is Hudson Valley Seed Library.
Yeah. Great artwork.
Great artwork. Really funny sense of humor. It's the, you know, and good seed. You know, they actually collect their own seed, and you can get the seed at seedlibrary.org.
Yeah.
And then Alice will definitely appreciate this. Monticello.
Yes.
Seeds. Yeah. The MonticelloShop.org has many of
the historic
seeds that Jefferson liked to grow at Monticello, like purple calabash tomatoes and Windsor bread fava beans, you know, the kind of stuff that you won't find everywhere. And finally, the Fragrant Path, it's the actual catalog of seeds is like very, very interesting. It has all kinds of fragrant and rare plants, climbers, biennials, even trees and shrubs. And those you can find at thefragrantpathseeds.com.
Cool. All right, one final one before we go to break. This is more on the modern end. I found these amazing steel and aluminum and corten metal address plaques for the home that were also planters.
Oh,
so
really?
You bought this beautiful piece of metal. You can, obviously they're custom because you have
your number.
You have your house number put on it. They can be powder coated or like, you know, allowed to rust and patina. They come from Austin, Texas, and again on Etsy, it was Urban Metal, M-E-T-T-L-E was the name of the company, Urban Metal, and they were phenomenal, and they were extremely affordable.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a little on the higher end of gift, but really unique, and you can put little succulents in it, or
Do they only do numbers, or could you put like words, or
I'm sure you could. Because they were very, very interested in the whole customization thing. But they did have some like standard kind of off the shelf designs as well. So it was really cool because
it's a really
nice way to like give a little personality to your house, to your front door, you know?
Well, that's great.
With plants.
Well, I think we have to take a break.
We do.
Yeah. Stay tuned to We Dig Plants. We're going to come back and talk more gifts and trends in the garden.
It's just that I need you. White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Hi, welcome back. You're listening to We Dig Plants on Heritage Radio Network. Today we're talking gifts. Gifts for the gardener.
Gardeners like gifts.
They do. And we need gifts because we work hard. So we're talking about different ideas for gifts. And we have an amazing, really fun friend. We have the owner of a very old, venerable...
Brooklyn Institution,
florist and garden shop called Zuzu's Petals, which is in Park Slope. They've been around since 1971. Hi, Fonda.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Good, can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great. Thanks for joining us.
Perfect.
So,
thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about the history of Zuzu's Petals and also the sweetest name in the world for a garden shop and a florist.
Zuzu's Petals started in 1971 in the back of the Haitian bookstore on Flatbush Avenue, and after 6 months, it moved to 7th Avenue between Berkeley Place and Lincoln.
Right.
We had two storefronts, $300 a month. We had, on one side, we sold only plants, and on the other side, we had consignment, craft, and antique.
Right.
And I started working there, I think, in 1972 and ran the shop for 2 years before I bought it. And we moved across the street to 81A 7th Avenue between Union and Berkeley. And at that point, we started selling cut flowers as well as plants. And we were there until about 10 years ago.
Right.
And have witnessed the neighborhood changing a great deal and developing.
Yes.
10 years ago, there was a fire in the restaurant next door, and we were burned out of our location.
Yeah,
I remember that.
That was so sad. I remember that, too. But I'm so glad that everybody came, you know, gathered around and got you all back up on your feet. And now you're on 5th Avenue in Park Slope.
Yes. Between 5th and 6th Street.
Which right. I think is a better avenue, honestly, for shopping. Can I just say that, Fonda?
Yeah.
Well, I
at
mean,
this point, 5th Avenue is wonderful.
Yeah, but that's all, you know, that's all the change of the neighborhood and the, you know, and, you know, how things are getting so great through Gowanus and down, you know.
Yeah, it's really incredible that when I drive around the neighborhood, I'm amazed to see people living everywhere where you never thought people would want to live. But
exactly.
I love what people have done for the houses and the neighborhood and the little restaurants that are open. And I love what's happening on 5th Avenue and the biz that formed and, you know, the strength of the merchants together.
Right.
It's really the backbone of a small community.
Right.
And that's why we wanted to have you on, Fonda, because you know, Alice and I had a retail establishment for a short time. It's tough.
It's a really tough
to last, and it's and especially now in this age of so much competition for customers, to have a loyal customer base,
right.
You know, and to also entice new customers all the time is a challenge. And your store's longevity speaks volumes about your understanding of how to do it. You know, and that's why I wanted to have you on and to share, like, the trends and how things have evolved, you know, over the years.
So,
well, it's been a challenge, and I know that when we first started in business, there were wonderful growers that had a very deep history in their families where they grew plants from cuttings and they grew everything in clay, and people collected plants, and everyone knew genus species. And
yes.
Then the market was flooded with plants from Florida, which were very inexpensive and not the quality of these lovely homegrown varieties.
Right.
And that's when we started selling flowers. And it was this whole surge of popularity with selling new kinds of flowers, and it was when the European market opened up and the South American market opened up and cut flowers.
Right.
So it's really amazing. The product that's available all the time is really incredible.
Yeah.
But it's a very tough business, and I think I'm only successful because I love what I do.
Well, and also I think there's something to be said, Fonda, about walking into your shop and buying a little bouquet of flowers versus the bodega. You know it's going to last a lot longer.
Yes.
You know it's made and it's curated, you know, from a professional. It's not just like the truck shows up and they just bombard the sidewalk with cut flowers. It's very,
right.
it feels very special in your store. It feels like you love them. And
well, I pick everything by hand.
Yeah.
I mean, no two bunches of flowers are the same. And you could look at a box of roses, and every single different bunch has a different look because it's cut at a different time and it's been stored for a certain amount of time. It takes a good eye to decipher what is the freshest and the best, and what's going to open properly and age properly. And then there's the prepping of them and doing them, cutting them properly and hydrating them and then marketing them.
Right, right. So is your background then in the florist industry, or did you just learn on the job?
I learned on the job. And flowers are a very good teacher, because when you buy flowers and they're dead the next day because you haven't cut them properly, you learn really quickly how to cut them the right way.
Exactly.
And I was fortunate to be cultivated in the old, when I first started buying, there were really no women in the market as buyers, and it was all of these old-time florists who kind of took me under their wing, and they would teach me how to make corsages the way that they made them, and they would tell me how to cut things and what to buy and what not to buy, and I was really taken, I was well-educated and taken care of by all my old-time flower buddies.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great.
That's a great, and the flower market at the time was much bigger, the 28th Street Market.
Huge. It was, oh my God. I am so sorry that nobody made a documentary about the flower market at that
time. I know.
It was enormous, and it was all over, and it was family businesses and multi-generational.
It was
just expansive, and it's cut down so much because people buy directly from the farms and their trucks that pick up at the airport. There's something lost in that to me, because I love to go to the market and pick my colors and my textures and something that's kind of out on a limb, and I'm not sure whether it's going to sell, but it's so exciting that I can't stand not having it.
You have to have it, right.
Fonda, you sound like us when we go to the nurseries. We've been in this business a very long time, too, and each year there's some exciting things that we do, you know, and that's the beauty of our business, is that there are constantly new things, new trends, and we wanted to have you on to talk about that too. What are you seeing in trends this year for flowers, for plants, and for gifts?
Well, for gifts this year, we've started focusing on our handmade balsam wreaths that are fragrant, and we add pines and junipers and cedars and firs to them with berries and cones, and it's just like a little walk in the woods on your door, and we love making those, and we've also, in terms of plants, we have some small leaf myrtle topiaries and orchids, cyclamen, poinsettias of different colors. People have also gotten into succulents and growing succulents on wreaths, which is a little tricky, but it's a new sort of innovation. People have really gotten into growing succulents, I think because they think they don't need any care.
Right.
And they also last a long time before they succumb to neglect the light.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
We also have in the shop the
I'm sorry, Fonda, you're breaking up a little bit.
Can you repeat that, Fonda?
Yeah.
We also have handmade pottery.
Oh, great, yeah.
Oh, that's really nice to see.
From Ireland and Belgium and Italy and France. And most everything is a fruit or an apple pattern tied in with all the botanicals.
Yeah.
We have some wonderful soaps and lotions that are all natural products all over the world. We have wonderful textiles, velvets and satins and cottons, tablecloths and face masks.
And tell me about the vetiver.
The vetiver face masks?
Yes, those are so exquisite.
They're amazing. They come from a wonderful company owned by a young woman who's out in California. And the face masks are woven from vetiver root, which is fragrant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the face masks have that earthy, woody fragrance to them, and they're very easy to wash. And you can put them in the washing machine,
yeah.
And they come out absolutely clean, and
oh,
the
that's
fragrance
really
lasts. Huh. They're really special.
Yeah, vetiver is used in fragrance a lot.
Yeah.
It's a
wonderful earthy scent.
I have a blanket. Not a blanket. It's more like it's actually a tablecloth that I got Pier One.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Pier One was not so commercial, back when Pier One was really Pier One. And so this is like 40 years old now, you know. But this...
Wow, that's incredible.
I loved that store when it was like rustic and everything was from India and it was just amazing.
It was really ethnic.
It was
stuff.
Very ethnic.
Yeah.
And
Does it still smell from the vetiver root?
It still smells.
Really?
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And I take it to the beach and use it as like... you know, like a blanket on the beach.
Uh-huh.
And it smells even better now because I've got like sand and salt water. And of course I wash it, but the smell is always the same. And it's,
yeah, that's incredible.
I just love it. And in the summertime, I put it on my bed and sleep with it because that smell is intoxicating. It's awesome.
Yeah. And it's incredible how it holds up.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, Fauna, tell us about your process. How do you do it each year? How do you, you know, do you put together like kind of a theme or an idea of what you want the shop to be around the holidays or for each season? What is that process like? That's always very interesting to me.
Well, I think that I've been going to the gift show every 6 months in New York.
Right.
And I think that my buying choices had to do with what was going on in my life at the time. So if I remember going to the show once in January and I had the flu and everything that I bought was soft and cuddly and related to being in bed.
Yeah.
And and at a different point in my life, some of my friends were having babies, so I had a lot of things for kids in the store. But mostly I find that I have a very good eye, and I have an idea of what I like, and I just walk the aisles really quickly, and when I see something that catches my eye amidst all of the hazardry that's there, I know that it could possibly be something good for me.
Right.
And I, you know, at this point, most every person has a success, and it's very easy to go online and look at the goods and pick from the website. So things that I buy when I'm at the gift show are things that I have to smell or taste or things that you can't get an idea of from a photograph or a picture online. But now at this point, I have so many companies that I know of.
Yes, it's easy.
I have a wealth of sources to deal with, you know, to draw on.
Right, right.
But basically, I'm in retail because I love to acquire things. And the only thing that satisfies my desire to shop and acquire is if I buy $500 worth of something that I would love to have in my house. And then if it doesn't sell, I can take it home. But I think mostly my guideline is if I love it and I cater to people who love coming into my shop,
then
that's sort of a filter right there.
Right.
Right, that makes so. Let me ask you, Fauna. What was your best selling item ever?
Ooh,
since you've been...
Oh my God. Well, we've had several of them, but years and years ago, there was a company called Manual Woodworkers and Weavers out of some place down south, and they made replicas of handmade quilts that were the traditional patterns, like the bear claw and the wedding ring quilt, and they wove them in cotton. And they were colors, and they made They were a green color background with one major color, like either a black or a blue or a green. And the patterns were fantastic, and I think they were like $25 or $35.
Oh, man.
Those were the best sellers. We sold them like crazy, and it's so wonderful because it was a good size item. It was comfy and cozy and just a great style. And then, of course, they stopped making them.
Yeah.
And we find it's really interesting. We're like the touch test for certain things because when we do really well with something, for some reason, the companies stop making them or discontinue them. So
no.
We're constantly on the lookout for new sources of work.
Yeah. Yeah. Carmen and I love going to the
gift show
just to see what the trends are. And so what do you think the trend is going to be for the next 5-10 years in retail gardening world?
I have no idea.
Well, what do you
I mean, I don't think I think well, we did really well the last couple of seasons we've done really well with vegetables. And while you would not believe that people could find rooms in a Brooklyn garden that's not totally sunny, we've had the most wonderful experiences selling lettuces and tomatoes and that wonderful, Tuscan kale that has been out. And I think, you know, the herbs are very big and, you know, textured things and things with fragrance. And, of course, in Brooklyn, there are half of the gardens at least don't have a lot of sun. So we specialize in plants for shade with texture and color and something that will give you the most bang for your buck, whether it's something that flowers in the spring early before the trees flower and then has beautiful foliage and then gets some fall
color
attraction, like color in the leaves or a berry. And for the small garden, it is wonderful when you have something that does not just for the spring or just for the mid-season, that it performs through as many different times of the year as possible.
Exactly.
And I see people stretching the season. You know, we start in March with the pansies, and just that is one of my favorite trips. It's a winter, and now you can plant again, and the pansies are fragrant, and they're so uniform in, you know, when you see them in a flat, all the faces are that wonderful color.
Yeah.
And you bring them in. And even if they freeze, rock solid, flowers fail, but the plant stays and they squat and they continue to flower until July.
Yeah.
And then in the fall, you know, sort of extending the evergreen season and things with berries, feels like people want to garden as much as possible and live outside in their gardens and have, you know, just move their cooking and their eating outside as much as possible.
Funda, you're making me so excited for the spring.
I know. You know, and that's why I garden, because I get so sad in the fall when I have to put my garden to bed.
Yeah.
And then I realize that this is why we garden, because look at a plant and you know what it's going to look like in the spring.
Right.
And it's a confirmation of life going on.
Yeah.
It really is seriously enriching to know that there's going to be life at the end of the whole way in need of time.
That's right. It's all about hope.
That's what makes our jobs so amazing. I mean, Alice and I plant, I don't know, tens of thousands of bulbs every year in gardens. And it's one of the most, I personally find one of the most miraculous things that we do is put that, you know, kind of hard bulb in the ground,
exactly.
You know, and then 3 or 4 months later, something amazing, you know, it's a leap of faith, you know, and
it's a surprise when it comes up.
Yes.
When you plant it, it is a leap of faith and it's a hope. It's putting your hopes in the ground and it's planting a surprise to yourself that will come up when it's ready.
Yeah.
And it's just so life affirming.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry we have to end today's show, but I'm so glad that's like the perfect spot to end on. Life affirming as we head into the darkest
part of
days.
The year. Funda, will you share your website and all the relevant information for our listeners so they can find you?
Our website is zuzuspetalsbrooklyn.com, And our there's a blog connected to the website, and you can click on that. And our email is zuzusparkslope@aol.com. And our address is 374 6th Street. And we have a phone number, 718-638-0918. And we deliver in the Park Slope area, Windsor Terrace, Carroll Garden, Forum Hill. We'd love to meet all of your listeners.
Thank you. I also just want to note that it's Z-U-Z-U, as in It's a Wonderful Life, Zuzu's Petals. Because it's all about Christmas, and it's all about giving.
Thank you, Fonda. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. We'll see you before the year is over.
I'll be in to get some flowers soon.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you, Fonda.
Well,
wrap it up.
We've just been listening to another wonderful hour almost of We Dig Plants. Today's show was written and produced by Alice Marcus Krieg and Carmen DeVito and engineered by Jack Inslee. Please support Heritage before the year end. They're having a big fundraising drive.
Become
a member.
Get some cool swag.
Bid on the auction. It's really great. Please follow our Facebook fan page, Groundworks Inc. We Dig Plants, to get gardening news and to win prizes. Alice and I are going to put some photos of some of these favorite items that we love and some of the books on our Facebook page over the next couple of days, so you guys can take a look at all the things that we loved.
Happy gardening and happy holidays.
See you in the garden.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.